Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Mark's Gospel, where Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Please be seated. Holy Scripture is filled with farming imagery, and while technology has changed the face of farming since the time that Scripture was written, one thing remains the same. God alone causes seed to grow. In our text, Jesus is teaching a large crowd at the edge of the Sea of Galilee. He says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Just a little explanation of this first parable. The man doing the sowing is Jesus, and the seed is the word of God. The ground in which the seed grows are those who are living under God's reign and rule. And the action of the man who's doing nothing but going to sleep and rising in the morning, all while the seed is sprouting and growing, this illustrates the powerful action of God's Word. It's God's Word with the Holy Spirit making things happen. The point of the parable is God's kingdom grows among us mysteriously, and God grows it at His pace through the power of His holy word. You've heard it many times, God alone gives the growth, and while we understand that this is how our Heavenly Father operates, it gets pretty frustrating for us, because we all know someone who needs to come to faith in Jesus. Whether it's a family member, a loved one, a friend, you want them to confess Jesus as their Savior, and you want them to believe now. You even want to get out your Bible and beat them over the head with it. And this type of frustration has led to a lot of false doctrine in our country today. Many congregations focus on the best practices, and they also focus on church growth gimmicks. They try to be culturally relevant, and they want to make worship casual and comfortable. Sit back with your cup of coffee and your donut and enjoy the cozy and entertaining environment. These people keep their members really busy cleaning neighborhoods and feeding the hungry and fighting for social justice. And while each of these things is indeed good, in the hustle and bustle of growing numbers in the congregation, many have lost the real message. They've lost the gospel. They no longer preach that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The message that the Son of Man came to give His life as a ransom for many. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Bible is clear. Jesus desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But it also says, how can they come to faith if they never hear the gospel? And that's where the rub comes in. How are they going to hear the gospel if we can't get them to come into the church? Well, as members of the body of Christ, it is your responsibility and mine to teach all nations to observe everything that Jesus has commanded, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's where it ends. We, the church, are to baptize and teach. We sow the seed, we water the seed, we fertilize it. But you can stand in your garden and scream at that seed all day long, and it's not going to jump out of the ground. Our task is the sowing and the nurturing, but God alone gives the growth through the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in Scripture will you find that God has commanded you to grow his kingdom. St. Peter writes that all who believe in Christ Jesus are members of the priesthood of all believers. That's who is gathered here this morning. And as a member of God's priesthood, you have his command to proclaim Christ and him crucified. It's your task to proclaim God's word to all people that you come in contact with, while remembering that it's God who really does all the work. You're merely sowing seed. So where should you start? A good place to start would be dusting off your small catechism. And if you can't find your catechism, come see me. I'll be happy to order you one. It's only $15. So take your catechism and heed Luther's words at the beginning of each of the six chief parts. Luther writes, "As the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household." Teach the catechism to your family. Read the Bible aloud with your family. Holy Scripture has been written for your learning. So read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's word so it's written on your heart. Teach your family the catechism, or even sit down with friends, anyone who else is Christian. Discuss Scripture with them. Do devotions and pray together, so that they too can hold fast in the blessed hope of everlasting life. And when you have done all these different things in the house, you go off to your business, to your vocation, to your entertainment, with God's word written on your heart. You are now prepared to save the life-saving message of Christ crucified with all those who come into your sphere of activity, those who are helpless, those who are harassed, and those who need a Savior. In Scripture, Jesus never plays the numbers game. He doesn't have a quota that I got to heal this many people today and I got to preach this many sermons today. He merely interacts with real people, with real problems, suffering from real sin. What does he do? He has compassion on them. He loves them. He gives them the good news of salvation through his precious blood. He gives them the gospel and the words of eternal life. And then he lets the word do its work. Sometimes the seed of faith sprouts and grows. Even with Jesus, sometimes the seed does not sprout and grow. It's all part of God's mysterious growing of the kingdom. And the fact that not everyone comes to faith who speaks with Jesus is evidence of our sinful flesh, the old Adam's animosity and hostility toward God. Even those of us who are a part of God's kingdom, we too struggle daily with sin and temptation, and we fall short of the glory of God. That's why we come to worship, and daily we live in a cycle of repentance and forgiveness of our sins. But part of your Christian vocation is sharing the good news of Jesus with others. You will meet resistance, because we live in a sinful world where the sinful man has the power to resist God's message, resist God's love and mercy. But as a priest laboring in God's harvest field, you don't have to worry about the growth. God's going to take care of the growth. You can trust in his promises that he is with you, never leaving you nor forsaking you. You don't have to trust in your efforts. Trust in the promises of God. You may never see the results. You may never see the growth that God's word does in the hearts of others, but that doesn't mean God's word has turned away empty. The word of God is powerful and able to change the hearts of sinners and lead them to faith and repentance, just as the word of God keeps your faith intact, keeps you in the true faith, and forgives your sins and sustains you as you go through your life. In our Old Testament text, God speaks through his prophet Ezekiel, describing in allegory how God will grow his kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom that will come through his descendant, as a descendant of David. We know this as Jesus. And while this kingdom begins as a small twig, it'll flourish because of Jesus' birth, his life, death, and resurrection. God's word never returns to him empty. At the end of our text, of Old Testament text this morning, he says, "I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it." And he has done it. The twig that Ezekiel is referring to is the same mustard seed that Jesus is referring to. Even though it's one of the smallest of seeds, when sown on the ground, it is the smallest of the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The reign and rule of Jesus began as a small mustard seed. It began under the humblest of circumstances. You would have thought building a kingdom, the future king would have been born in a palace in a great city to a family rich and famous and powerful, but not Jesus. He was born in the little village of Bethlehem to a lowly virgin by the name of Mary, and to all neighbors, Jesus was nothing more than the illegitimate son of a carpenter. Who would have thought such an insignificant seed, this mustard seed of a king, would win salvation for all mankind by his suffering and death on the cross? Who would have thought that this tiny little mustard seed's frightened disciples, after he ascends into heaven, while being threatened with death, they hold ever fast to his gospel message, and not just holding fast to it, but spreading the gospel that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, suffering all, even death, rather than deny their faith. Today, this mustard seed has grown larger than any other plant in the garden, that birds of every feather may nest in that tree together. St. Paul gives us this illustration: "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." You are grafted into the vine of Christ. You are his precious child. He has won salvation for you, and he forgives you all of your sins, even when you fall short of sharing the gospel. The worldwide existence of the Christian faith is evidence that God has kept his promise that he made through Ezekiel. Indeed, the Lord has done it. God's word does all the work. The seed of the word is sown, and it sprouts, and it grows. We don't have any idea how, but it does it all the time. It's God's mystery that is his to do with as he pleases. It's his holy mystery, just as the mystery of the Holy Spirit has called you to faith. It has enlightened you with his gifts, and through word and sacrament, it continues to sanctify you and keep you in the true faith. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.